So, I think we're down to 23, right? Hunting requirements and prohibited methods. Chad.
Good morning again, Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator. On page 23, is Commissioner Chair Jensen just indicated this would be our chapter on hunting requirements. Here we have a recommended change to the rule process where we define and delineate endemic areas in regards to chronic wasting disease. And it's important to identify those geographic areas as endemic where we have confirmed CWD or within close proximity to CWD to help initiate the rules that are further listed down below on that action sheet under your supportive information, which relate towards the transportation and disposal requirements of deer or elk that would be allowed to exit those endemic areas and be returned back to that hunter's home for processing purposes or their own taxidermy work, or to take that harvested deer or elk to a commercial game processor or to a taxidermist of their choice outside of that endemic area. And with that comes carcass disposal requirements. So ultimately, in the end, if they're going to take something out, our first preference would be for that hunter to quarter or debone that animal and leave those parts in the field within that area that that deer or elk was harvested. But if they're going to bring it out of an endemic area, those parts need to ultimately end up in a permitted landfill. There's about 24 of those within the state, so they'd have to either deliver those parts to that landfill themselves or contact their waste management provider to ensure that those parts would be an allowable trash item within the dumpster that's provided to them by that company. So getting back to the endemic area, so how we currently are identifying endemic areas would be we have a deer elk that tests positive within a specific hunting unit. That hunting unit then automatically becomes endemic and thus triggers the carcass transportation and disposal regulations here that will become effective July 1 and implemented here in the 2020 hunting seasons. I'm just going to read through this here, and I think what we're trying to do here is to simplify what we currently have in rule, to allow the department to become or to be more proactive in our response. Say in September we confirm CWD in a new unit instead of having to come back to the commission and go through the 60 or 90 day process to get another hunting unit or geographic area identified as endemic. This rule would allow the department to automatically identify that area as an endemic area. And obviously, if that happens close to or during the season, there's going to be some latitude, right, on our law enforcement officers with that. We're going to do our best as a department to get that information disseminated out to our hunters and to our taxidermists and processors who also have these rules put in place onto them if they accept animals coming from those areas from a disposal standpoint. So I'll read this here. So the recommended change would be to define CWD endemic areas to include any firearm deer or elk hunting unit. And in here we have excluding the new prairie elk hunting unit, that West River one. We'll get to that here in just a second. So it would include any firearm deer or elk hunting unit, excluding that West River prairie elk unit, that includes any portion of a county where CWD has been confirmed. Okay, so we have some hunting units that mirror the exact geographic delineation of a county. We have some hunting units that include only a portion of a county. Maybe 20% of that hunting unit is one county and 80% is the other. Okay, so we're trying to provide a little bit of buffer here around some of these known positives. So in addition to that, so we also have, so our firearm licenses are hunting unit specific, okay? We also have archery, muzzleloader, and apprentice deer licenses that are not unit specific. I guess you could call the antlerless whitetail license a unit specific, where It includes not all of the state, but some hunting units that are within that unit. So we need to address those as well. So the second portion of this would be, in addition, any deer harvested during the archery, muzzleloader, and apprentice deer season, and any elk harvested from the prairie, the West River Prairie Unit, that's where that's coming into here, because of the immense size of that area, and we don't want to put regulations on someone that harvests an elk in Stanley County right now and have that regulation apply to them, because we haven't confirmed CWD there yet. But if they would harvest a deer or elk in Butte County or Fall River County with kind of these larger statewide licenses, we do want to have regulations put on that animal that may come out of that endemic area. So I'm going to read that last part again. So in addition, any deer harvested during the archery, muzzleloader, and apprentice deer seasons, and any elk harvested from the unit, the prairie unit, West River, within a county where CWD has been confirmed, would be subject to carcass transportation and disposal regulations. Okay. So for those statewide seasons or that West River Prairie unit, what triggers the rules that would come into effect would be the county of where that animal was harvested, okay? If it's harvested within a county where CWD has not been confirmed, none of these regulations apply. If it's harvested from an endemic area, regulations apply. It's on or off by the county for these statewide seasons and that large West River Prairie elk hunting unit. So so I guess for right now, if you would turn to page figure 2 right there and look, so those darker gray shaded counties, and this was a map that I shared yesterday during the presentation on the surveillance update, those dark county units, let's just in our minds look at or consider you have a statewide archery deer license. If you would harvest a deer in any one of those dark gray units, those regulations would apply to you. If they're in any of those lighter gray or non-shaded counties, no regulation applies to you, only in those dark shaded areas, okay? And so we will go through, and when we develop the elk applications and the deer hunting applications, when you look at that map in those dark shaded counties, any deer or elk hunting unit that is comprised of any of those dark shaded counties would be a known endemic area, thus triggering the rules. So with that, Mr. Chair, I hope I did a decent job explaining that, and I would certainly try to answer any questions the commission has.
Questions? Commissioner Spring.
In my unit, where I live, I see it's in the dark area. If I have a hunter come, we clean the deer up, but he wants the head, or he wants to mount it, what process are we talking about then? I mean, does it have to be caped out, boiled, or to move it, or what's the process there?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Spring, great question. So if that hunter that comes and hunts on your ranch wants to take that carcass out, any part of it, whether it's a whole carcass or say he debones that animal in the field, you're okay as a landowner allowing those carcass parts to remain in your pasture, that draw, that's totally fine. That hunter can take that head out. He or she could take that home. They could do the boiling process if they're doing a European mount or whatnot, or they could take it to a licensed taxidermist. That taxidermist and that hunter would be required to dispose of any parts of that, any brain material, anything that would be brought out of that area. They would be subject to the disposal requirements. Now, if you're a hunter and you harvest in deer or elk within any of these dark shaded units, right now none of these restrictions would apply to you. Okay, there's nothing that says it has to go to a landfill or anything like that. That would be our preference, but we're trying to find that right balance, you know, that we talked about yesterday, you know, to try to meet the needs of our hunters and these businesses that are associated with deer or elk hunting. So, Commissioner Spring, I hope, does that answer your question there?
So it would be legal for the hunter to take the head and the cape to across the state or out of state to a taxidermist?
Yes, that hunter could take it out of the endemic area. Say they harvested it on your ranch, Commissioner Spring, and they wanted to utilize a taxidermist up in Watertown. They could certainly take that head or cape to that taxidermist. The taxidermist would then be required to dispose of those parts appropriately in a landfill or with their garbage hauler. As far as going to another state, say if that hunter was from Indiana or Illinois, they're going to have to contact states that they're traveling through and the states that they're wanting to bring that deer back into to see what those state regulations are. Regulations kind of change across the states. We wish there'd be a better uniformity of regulations across the states, but that's not there, and I don't know if we'll ever get there. So the hunter would have to check on those.
Thank you.
Commissioner Olson.
Thanks, Commissioner Olson. Is it the hunter's responsibility to let the taxidermist know that they harvested the animal in an endemic area and once they drop the item off to be mounted? And if so, are we requiring the taxidermist to keep a record of that and to show a proper disposal?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Olson, another good question. We probably haven't thought of all of these things that could come up, and I appreciate those comments. So on the tag that a hunter's going to get, say if you drew a firearm license for Fall River County, so on your license it's going to say in two different spots, CWD rules apply, okay? And we're going to be following up with hunters that draw all of those licenses, a list of what those regulations are, okay? We will also be following up with the taxidermists. And we know who all of those are because we license all of the taxidermists within the state. We have a pretty good idea of where and who all of the game processors are, but we don't know all of them. So we're going to do our best to reach out to those two businesses, taxidermists and processors, and we're going to be getting the information out to our hunters on that. The challenge is going to be, our statewide seasons, if you want to call them that, our archery and muzzleloader and apprentice. We're going to have to be doing our best to inform and ensure we get, you know, enough information shared with them on that. As far as whose responsibility it is, obviously as a taxidermist, that would be your responsibility of accepting a carcass or a head from an endemic area. But we're going to do, I made a note of that, and that's going to be something we need to ensure that our hunters are doing the best job that they can too, because we're looking at their responsibility to help do things right and help reduce the artificial spread here, or the potential to spread.
Questions, Secretary Hepler?
We've had a lot of discussions among staff how to deal with this. This is an evolving plan. I mean, the reality is that we'd want people moving deer, ideally, anywhere. And that's where we're going to eventually end up going. And I think if Deputy Secretary Roebling had his way, we'd probably be talking about that right now. But at the same time, we're not trying to make criminals out of our hunters. That's the last thing we want to do. So we need their patience and their tolerance, their buy-in to what we're doing. And, there's a long history in the state about how we move deer around and hold deer a lot of times, and we just have to change that. And so then, and Commissioner Springs and others and Russ asked those questions. Those are all relevant questions. And so we're going to have to work with John's shop and this messaging to ensure we start reaching out to these hunters, because it's coming. And the best thing they can do is leave it all in the field. Now, I understand there's times I got a number of European mounts in my office, and I appreciate that. I get that. And we have to accommodate that to somebody, because we're not trying to turn people away from hunting. That's the last thing we want to do, too, particularly in the face of losing hunters. But this is a reality, and we have to be aggressive about this. And across the other states, we're working with them, because sometimes, we need to know what's moving between state boundaries. Every issue we're talking about here, every state's facing, not every state. Most of the states in the union are facing have surveys, and so this is an ongoing national discussion. But I just, we have to just let people know they're going to have to learn how to at least quarter an animal out. And leave that whole spinal column in the field. That's the best thing you can do. If you got to take out the head, then I guess you got to take the head out. But, if not,
leave it in the field. And that's the message we're going to have. And if we need tutorials for people how to quarter an animal out, we can do that. I mean, you know, I learned how to do it when I moved to Alaska. When I was, you know, living in Spearfish, we'd haul these things out of Canyon Hole. It'd take me hours. In hindsight, now I'm thinking, what was I thinking? But you don't drag out a moose, and so then you learn how to do that. And I think the average hunter will learn that, too. It's not that difficult. But it's a tolerance thing. It's like we talk about invasive species, Mr. Chairman, when you know, there's just things we have to build up. It's not going to happen overnight. So that's what we're doing this morning incrementally. But at some point, we're just going to say we're done. This is the way it's going to have to be. So, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions or comments? You need a motion.
I do. I don't. Our department does. Yeah.
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh,
okay. Now we need another motion.
Need a motion to approve the amendment. Thanks, Tom.
Approve the amended proposal. Not everybody at once.
So moved.
There's a second. Okay. Any discussion on that? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Passes.
Okay, thank you.
As amended. So, have we gotten all the finalizations handled?
Sorry. One more here, I guess. Right. On page 23A would be another CWD requirement that we're actually asking you as a commission to repeal, which would be the mandatory submission of samples from any deer or elk harvested within Custer State Park. And just a refresher, this was a rule that we worked with the commission at the time prior to the development of the CWD action plan. We don't have any intentions right now to determine a prevalence rate. You know, I mean, we are looking at prevalence, but I guess in response to a prevalence rate from a management side of things, we're just not there, and I don't know if we will get there. Maybe we will someday, but in regards to the mandatory submission right now, we know CWD is there. We're obviously going to take voluntary submissions from hunters that want to provide samples to have their deer or elk tested, but as of right now, our recommendation is to still repeal this regulation, and we'll work with the hunters on a voluntary standpoint. So
we need a motion to approve 23A.
The amendment, and then
to the amendment.
Yeah.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Discussion. Commissioner Spring?
I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure. Go ahead.
Now, a statewide elk, deer, whatever, is voluntary now with the to have the CWD checked, or is there a regulation on these dark areas that we talked of in the last deal that you have to have it checked?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Spring, no, we do not have. There is no mandatory upon approval of this, and this was only pertaining towards Custer State Park. We have no mandatory requirements of submissions of samples. It's been all voluntary. And going back to that map, if you just turn back one page where we talked about the endemic counties, you would see the, and it's hard to kind of see here printed, but that that next shaded color would be priority surveillance areas. So it would be any county essentially that is adjacent to a known county, or using that 25-mile buffer of that mean dispersal distance of a yearling whitetail is what we're kind of utilizing there. That's where our priority would be to get voluntary samples, just from a surveillance standpoint, but nothing mandatory. And again, we're taking samples from anybody within the state, anywhere, with any of those species to help them with their sampling efforts. So,
thank you.
Questions, comments, motion to approve? Second?
Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Now, have we covered all the finalizations? All right, let's go to